It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Okay. Checking in at
number five.
Former Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., once a rising star, until he bought some Elvis memorabilia, and then the whole thing went to poop.
Gosh, yeah.
There might have been a few other things that happened there, too, along the way. Was on the John Williams Show today with his mother, Jacqueline. She's got a new book out called Loving You, Thinking of You, Don't Forget to Pray.
I was in a dark place, and I accepted responsibility for my behavior. I had been convicted of spending about $75,000 a year for 10 years beyond my means, and I had to reflect upon it, the shame of it all, the embarrassment of it all. I thought I was doing a pretty good job as a congressman.
I think you did a good job as a congressman.
I had rarely missed a vote.
A bad politician.
Oh, there's a mother's love right there. She's a very interesting woman, Jesse Jackson Sr.'s wife. Mm. Jacqueline, who raised those kids, has now, you know, Jesse Jr. might have strayed from the pack, but the other kids have all been involved in some pretty amazing stuff, business people and doing other things, and been very successful in their own right. She's been a very strong mom. And, you know, I'd imagine wrangling the kids and the dad is not an easy job. And,
to say the least. That clip, though, it was riveting, but I forgot for a second that Mom was also there, and I thought, what happened to John's voice when he said, you did a very good job? Well, wait a minute, that's not John. That was Mom.
Yeah.
Junior and Mom.
The contrition piece, this is the thing, is that people get caught up in their own... Sometimes their own defense, they need to, in their defense, they want to just almost say anything in their own defense because they get desperate. And that was, but the way by which Jesse Jackson Jr. was handling this, along with his wife,
yeah,
who was, as far as I am concerned, a bad marriage, and I don't mean a bad marriage in terms of, you know, how they treat each other, but just... the relationship between two people can drive them to do things that they wouldn't normally do.
Mm.
Everybody has seen this before. You know, you see, so you probably have friends in your life that, you know, they married somebody and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have married them.
She seemed to really enjoy being part of this power couple, high profile. Referred to herself at one point as the First Lady of the Southland, is what she described his district. She called herself the First Lady.
Yes. Now, she was not from Chicago, yet she became the alderman from the ward in which they lived in the city and lived in Washington, D.C. while she was the alderman. Yeah. And everybody knew it, and there was no secret about it, and she didn't, you know, oh, I came back for some meetings.
Sure.
I mean, how that wasn't, I mean, the whole thing was bad.
Yeah. I represent the people. What's the number of my ward again? The ward, what number? Yeah.
So, all right. But now... how did he pass the time in prison?
I read and had read many times, but I read again in prison Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. And here he objectively is looking at what's taking place in the context of Auschwitz and confinement. And he talked about objectification. So when I had a job in prison mopping, I would mop required once a day, but I would mop 3 or 4 times a day because the opportunity to use the mop and to dance with the mop was like dancing with my wife. It was like being outside of the prison. It was being outside of yourself for that moment.
Got some Zen stuff going. Hey, listen, you know, if it's sincere, it's got a long life ahead of him. If you can do some good, if you can tell some lessons, teach some lessons, sell some books.
I think that's...
Do you think Patty's ever going to write a book? Patty Blagojevich, maybe like this?
I think she already did, didn't she?
Has she done a memoir?
I think she did. There was something, I think. Oh, he will, though.
He definitely will.
Oh, I hope,
and you know what?
Hope he's finished.
I'll
it
buy
in prison.
It, or at least we'll read
yeah.
it.
Anyway, oh, yeah.
Because we'll be like, oh, God, I can't believe Rod wrote a book. Okay, I want to read that.
I want to read the book that Rod Blagojevich writes that is accurate, that just lays the whole thing out.
Yeah.
Not it was all everybody else's fault. I hate when people say it's all everybody else's fault. Because you're not, no one acts independently. right? You act with a, in, within a group of people, and you have your own free will. You didn't necessarily have to do what you did there. Yeah. Thank you.
Number four.
During an interview that aired on 60 Minutes last night, Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe says that the United States Deputy Attorney General, a lot of deputies here,
yeah.
Rod Rosenstein, offered to wear a wire to the White House.
What did he hope to obtain?
I can't characterize what Rod was thinking or what he was hoping at that moment. But the reason you would have someone wear a concealed recording device would be to collect evidence. And in this case, what was the true nature of the president's motivation in calling for the firing of Jim Comey?
See, now, this is the interesting thing. I watched that last night, and I'm like, now everybody's going to have to respond to this. It's one thing when it was reported that it was, you know, sources say. But when a guy puts his name and face to it and says, this is what happened, it calls Rosenstein out. Now, what is interesting today, and interesting to note, is that the story today is that Dan Coats, who I've mentioned a number of times on this program, Dan Coats is the director of national intelligence for Donald Trump. He is a long-time stalwart in Indiana Republican politics. Mm-hmm. This, two times he was a senator from Indiana, not in, in two not consecutive terms,
right?
But twice he was elected to the Senate. He was elected to the Senate, left, came back.
I remember him in studio with us talking about that and how he came back because he felt like there was unfinished business.
Right.
He felt like he did it for all the right reasons, for what he believed in.
Dan Coats, I don't say this about a lot of politicians, but Dan Coats has my undying respect as a politician and as an American patriot and a guy who stands up to do the right thing. And he has been the director of national intelligence. And when they talk about adults in the room in a otherwise chaotic circumstance of people who've never been in politics before, who are trying to sort of improvise government as they're doing often at the White House. Dan Coats is one of those people that I know is there, and I feel good about him being there. Mm-hmm. Today, they are talking about firing him because he would have been in the room for many of the things that McCabe talked about last night, including but not limited to the question about, and this is McCabe's answer to the question about how Donald Trump was impacting the Russia investigation.
A discussion of the 25th Amendment was simply Rod raised the issue and discussed it with me in the context of thinking about how many other cabinet officials might support such an effort. I didn't have much to contribute, to be perfectly honest, in that conversation, so I listened to what he had to say. But to be fair, it was an unbelievably stressful time.
And then this, I think this is the most startling thing that happened last night.
The president launched into several unrelated diatribes. One of those was commenting on the recent missile launches by the government of North Korea. And essentially, the president said he did not believe that the North Koreans had the capability to hit us here with ballistic missiles in the United States. And he did not believe that because President Putin had told him they did not. President Putin had told him that the North Koreans don't actually have those missiles.
And he sided with Putin over his own military advisors. Now, now there's a caveat to that. That is what Rod Rosenstein is saying he was told by someone else who came back from that meeting. Rod Rosenstein does not have firsthand knowledge of that meeting and that interaction, and the president said that. So he is asserting something that was told him by somebody else.
Okay.
So that is an important, journalistically, that is an important caveat to make. We don't, you know, now you have to get that person who was in the room. We have to get somebody in the room to acknowledge that that happened. And so far, no one stepped forward. You know who was in that room? Dan Coats.
Uh-huh.
Okay. More to come. Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Could police be getting to the motive behind the alleged attack on Empire star Jussie Smollett?
Business owners yelling about Yelp. Are some of the best reviews actually being held back? WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9.
I know that's true. Some of my reviews are being held back for reasons that are unclear to me. All right, checking in at
number three.
This is the top five at five, if you're just joining us. This is what we do every afternoon at 5 o'clock. A video posted to social media caught a Southern California woman's racist rant at a mother and son stopping for a cup of coffee. The woman can be seen and heard shouting at Belinda Pinello and her son to get out of her neighborhood as they were just sitting in a car in a public street.
What are you? It doesn't even look human. Okay, get off our street. You do not belong in Playa Vista.
Are you okay, ma'am?
No, I'm not. We don't want you here. This is our street. Leave us alone.
Are you all right?
We pay $10,000 a month to keep you out. Pardon me?
We went and bought coffee at Blue Bottle.
Oh, my God. You bought coffee and parked on our street?
We pay $10,000 a month to keep you out?
Yeah, golly. She does sound disturbed, that woman, in more ways than one.
I'm just really glad that there wasn't cell phone video technology when I was growing up and my grandmother was still alive.
Oh, gosh. Jeez.
Because this is the kind of thing that she would have said to somebody on the street.
Golly. Just horrible.
Wait, there's more. Pinello says she even reached out to the woman in a genuine attempt to assess if there was something, as Richard says, wrong.
Okay, well, how do I deal with this in front of my child? Because inside, you know, you want to react a certain way, but you're going to have to, like, keep it together. I will not have one incident make me think that everybody who lives in that neighborhood is like that, because it's not fair to generalize, and we don't know if someone is suffering, if they have health issues.
Yes. That's what
it's beautiful sentiment by that mother. By the way, because that woman was yelling about her son in front of her son, saying he doesn't even look human. And that mother, I thought, handled it beautifully. If I was that woman's neighbor on, what is that, Del Boca Vista or whatever that is, Playa Vista, Alta Vista, if I were her neighbor, I would invite this woman and her son and 700 of their relatives to a block party. I'd get the permit, make it completely legal, and not invite.
Oh, Jerry.
Number two.
Video footage of a drunken JetBlue passenger throwing a tantrum has gone viral. This is Valerie Gonzalez. Right. She was...
She's invited to the block party, too.
Reportedly taking a JetBlue flight from Fort Lauderdale to Las Vegas.
Oh, geez.
When she became upset that she was seated next to a three-year-old.
I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not getting off this flight. I'm even bachelor's. Oh, you want to tape me, make this viral, bitches? I didn't do anything. What did I do? Yo, someone make this viral. Don't make this viral, make it viral. What the f*** did I do? I called someone old because they were? All right, I'll get my bag. I'll take my f*** all, y'all.
I'm going to get my bags. That's it. I'm gambling.
I like the little voice in the background. I don't know if it was a fellow passenger or if, like, oh, you're leaving us? Like, just like that. Kind of like, just kind of digging it in.
Listen, nobody wants to sit next to the three-year-old, but obviously she said she was already drinking. Just sip a Bloody Mary and go to sleep.
You are the first person in major media in America, Jen, to want to rush to this woman's defense. Thank you for doing that. All right, and finally...
Number one.
In Detroit, they had a mild December, cold January, and now they're dealing with soul-crippling cold and snow. Detroit's GMAC crash, Cash.
Oh.
Self-proclaimed,
in relation to
Johnny? The self-proclaimed king of parody rap can definitely relate to this new song, Tired of Snow.
Man, I'm getting tired of all this snow. Every week we gonna get some more time. Man, I'm getting tired of getting my feet wet. Open the car door in my seat.
Come on, man.
Kids out. They ain't even did a week yet. I'm about to slide down off the porch like Meek did. Manager, can you come in? Man, f*** that job. We just got 10 inches. I ain't been a drunk.
Right.
I think he picked that up off of my comments, you know? Like, he should copyright that.
Yes. I am with... I I feel exactly that man's pain. Because I forgot to change my floor mats out. And that was a mistake.
Oh, geez.
That was a mistake on my part.
Wait, what floor mats? In
I'm
your car?
Yeah.
You
I'm using
that?
The same like fuzzy mats as opposed to the... I have the other mats, and I didn't put them in.
Do people do that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I mean, it's the bad... Because then, like, every time I look at the floor mats, I'm like, I gotta go get this shampooed, man. It's like, it's a bad deal. It is too much snow.
Really, all right. I want to get a wrap of the drunken JetBlue passenger instead.
We have a wrap of the president's speech from Friday.
Okay. That'll be good, too.
We will play that for you coming up Wait, in his own words, I don't think Donald Trump knew exactly what a great artist he could be.
The top five at five.